We have been discussing the subject of purpose and destiny. Purpose and destiny. We have concluded, as we have looked at the Word of God, that our destiny, your destiny and mine, is God's prophetic declaration over our lives, and therefore, we, like the Word of God, will accomplish the purpose of God for our lives. We shall not return back to God void. And our basis of that declaration is the very fact that when God created us, the Word of God says God breathed into us, but when He so did, it was not air that He breathed into us. He breathed into us His Word. It is His Word that gave us animation. It is His Word that caused us to come alive. And the Word of God says, the justified of God live by faith. Amen? We came to understand that because we are called of God, purpose by God, that God has a purpose for us, a reason for us, and has a destiny for us, which is a directive for our lives. That God also has spoken very clearly from His Word that He will help us. Amen? That He is our helper. Because God's plan and purpose for your life, you don't know. God knows. And nobody really knows what your real purpose or destiny is. No one person, when you were born, got born with a handbook. You go buy a Chrysler, a Buick, or a Ford, and you look into the pigeonhole, and what do you call that thing? Glove box? Glove department? Okay, it's. when I got raised, I was raised with it called pigeonhole. Hallelujah. Anyway, you find an instruction book, a manual in there. You buy a washing machine, there's a manual in there. You buy a microwave, there's a manual in there. But when you were born, no manual. Because only God really knows the manual for your life. He knows exactly why He created you. And He has built inside of you what it is that you are to be. God has a plan and a purpose for every life. For Nico that we dedicated today, God has a plan and a purpose for her. There are things that God has already ordained. And there's no true fulfillment in life without you doing that particular thing that God has called you to do. You know, God may call you to be a housekeeper, a housewife, raising children, but you want to be a doctor and you want to be an engineer or you want to be a psychologist or you want to be something else, and you will never truly find fulfillment because what He called you to do is to raise up somebody. Care for somebody that is going to accomplish certain things, but you're busy trying to do everything else but that, because you've defined yourself and your identity based on what society defines people by. Well, society says, you know, from where I come from, growing up in Nigeria, you know, every father, every mother wants the child to become a lawyer or an engineer or a doctor. If you are not one of those, you've not made it. You're a failure because you're not an engineer, because you are not a doctor, because you are not a lawyer. Now let us all become lawyers, and let's all just become doctors. Who fixes the car? Who builds the house? Everybody has an assignment. And your responsibility is to live out your life fulfilling that which God created you to accomplish. That's it. You are going to give an account for what God created you to do, not what God did not create you to do. Every one of us. The Bible tells us about a man. I would like to look at Isaiah 44, the book of Isaiah 44, Isaiah 44, and verse 2. The word of God says, "Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee." Amen? Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will do what? Help thee. God made you, God formed you, and he says, I'm going to do what? Help you. So we have a promise of a helper. And last week we surmised that help is provided for two reasons. When help comes, help helps you to finish whatever it is that you need to do quicker. Amen? Or else, help comes to you to help you do what you cannot do in your own ability, in your own strength. And God has promised you that. He said, I formed you, I made you, I will help you. So I said, the Lord is my helper. Therefore, I will not fail. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand. God says, I will hold your hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. That is what God says. I created everything, and I'm in charge. Someone shout hallelujah. Now, come with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36. And verse 22. The word of God is talking about a man here. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus said Cyrus, king of Persia. All the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Now, who is this Cyrus? Cyrus is the man prophesied about 150 years before he was born. Anybody here 150 years old? Now, 150 years before the man is born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about him. This man is coming. His name is Cyrus. Mentions everything and what he's supposed to do. Jeremiah comes and begins to declare the same thing. And lo and behold, Jeremiah comes, or rather Cyrus comes, and he's born. And guess what? He's not a Jew. He has not heard any of those prophetic words. But because he did not hear it physically with his ears, did not mean that what God said was not going to come to pass. Are you with me so far? You say, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? I'm saying God has prophetic statements about you, and you will fulfill your prophetic assignment. God will help you. He made you and formed you for a purpose. Do you receive that word? Isaiah 44. Back to Isaiah, chapter 44. Isaiah 44, I'm going to read verse 28. This is Isaiah prophesying, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasures, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. 150 years before the man is born, his name is called and his assignment declared. 45 and verse 1. Thus said the Lord to his anointed. That's what God calls him. He's a Persian king. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. What did the word of God say? He says, I made you, I created you, I'm going to hold your hand. Is that what he said? He says the same thing about Cyrus. Whose right hand have I holden? To do what? To subdue nations before him. God's assignment, when God holds your hand, is to subdue anything that is resistant to the purposes of God. He says, and I will loose the loins of kings. I will loose the loins of kings. What is that about? It's God saying, listen, those who have the resources to help you, they are going to release the resources that you need so that you can do what I have assigned you to do. Somebody shout hallelujah. The loins of kings will be loose to open before him the two lived gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Somebody shout hallelujah. What is God saying to you and I? When I hold your hand, I'm going to provide you resources, and I'm going to make sure that the doors are open to you, and when I open it, it will never be shut. Glory be to God. God never starts something and then you lose out at the end. Is somebody listening? But listen to this, verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. Do you understand what that means? God making the crooked parts straight. Making the crooked places straight. That means you don't have a blind spot. That means that your pathway is going to be quick. The shortest distance between two points is what? A straight line. Someone say, I will never be slow. It doesn't matter who is ahead of me. I will arrive before they get there. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who is ahead of you. They're going to crooked paths. You are going through a straight line. God has a shortcut for you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you and I hook up to God and he holds us, it's a shortcut. God knows which way to go. And the God who knows where to go and what to do is making a commitment to you and to me, and he's saying, I ordained a destiny for you. I'm going to help you accomplish it. Therefore, child of God, there's no reason for you to fret. There's no reason for you to worry. There's no reason for you to start, you know, pulling your hair out, going through panic attacks because you're scared about what life is going to mean in your future. No, God is in charge of your life, and he has promised to help you. Do you receive this word? Stop worrying yourself about other people that you think are ahead of you. Oh, this person, they've done this, and they've done that, and they've done this, and they've done that, and they've done this, and they've done that, and I'm still here. Well, they may be doing all of those things, but God has a specific plan for you. And it is a quick one. Amen? Hallelujah. I just saw a brother that I spoke to, I guess, about a month and a half ago, or maybe 2 months, if that. I said to him, I said, the Lord says, get your license. Are you working on your license? He said, yes. I said, because the Lord says, when you get the license, the car is going to be there. And I'm looking, I looked at the brother. I said, oh my God, this got to be you. Because I don't know how he's going to get no car. Well, how is he going to get the car? But you said, get the license, and the car will be there. So I came to church 2 weeks ago. And the Bobo, the brother, did not get just any car. He didn't go to the used car lot. to get some rusty car. He comes in with a brand new car. I'm looking at this. How? Only God. Is it true, brother? God has a shortcut. He knows how to get you from point A to point B without going through all the heartbeat lines. When he died, when he flatlined, he created a straight cut for you. Hallelujah. That's why you need to die with him. There's a good place where flatlining is good. Because it's a straight line. No, ping, 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 ping. No. That's straight. And when you die with Christ, he takes you from point A to point B. And when you show up on this side, he is risen because you've defeated every enemy. The testimony was about Jesus. It's God sent John the Baptist ahead of him, to fill up every valley and reduce every mountain to make his path straight. Praise God. As it was for him, so it is for you. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare this day that the loins of kings will be loose, so that you can subdue nations, so that you can step into your end time destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus, the two lift gates are now open. Yeah. Hallelujah. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. He's talking about Cyrus. I'm going to give to you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Ay, ay, ay. But why did God have to go look for a Cyrus over there? Because God is saying, listen, if I can use an unbeliever and say that one is an anointed one, what about you, my child? When I say you are anointed, you are blessed, what do you think I'm going to do with you? If I can use the unbeliever who does not know me, doesn't have a relationship with me, what is it that I'm going to do with you that is mine? Greater things. Someone say greater things. Say it again, greater things. God has greater things on his mind for me. Hallelujah. 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 In Ezekiel 21. I've shared this passage with you before, but I feel compelled to share it with you again today. Ezekiel 21 and verse 27. The Lord is speaking, and he says, I will overturn. And he says this again, overturn. And he says it a third time, overturn it. And it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. In essence, God is saying, whoever it is that's occupying your space, hallelujah, I'm telling you now, I'm going to overturn it. I don't care how long they've been there, I'm going to take them out. I'm going to take them out. I'm going to take them out until you come, and I'll give it to you. But today, I declare over your life, over my life, over our lives, that there will be no slowness, no slothfulness, no tortoise, turtle kind of walk with you and I. For this day we receive supernatural speed to get to the destination point so that God can give to us what truly belongs to us. In Jesus' mighty name. Do you receive this word? The devil wants to rob you and I of that which God has ordained for us. But God is saying, no, I'm overturning everything that's standing in your way. I'm removing it. And I'm making certain that it no longer plays a role or is existent in your life until you come. You who has the right to it, and I will give it to you. If you receive that, say amen.
Amen.
Destiny. One of the things we talked about was recognizing what problem God has commissioned us to solve. That's partly how you get to know what your destiny is. What problem has God called you to solve? Because that particular issue will be resonating inside of you, day in, day out. What is it that God has purposed you to do? What is causing your heart to leap? Because the fact is, the purpose of John, the Baptist, his assignment was Jesus. And when Jesus in the belly showed up, John leaped. Are you with me? John leaped. Because he came across his destiny. When you locate what it is that God has for you, something leaps inside of you. It causes you to come alive. It causes you to come into a state where movement takes place, change takes place. There's a passion that takes place inside of you. What is ringing your bell? This question I want to ask you. What is ringing your bell? Now, we all, every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, do understand that the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is a common base for every one of us. God's purpose for us is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is part of God's assignment for every one of us. But how you do that is very specific. It may be in singing. It may be in playing an instrument. It may be in the preaching of the word. It may be in writing of books or poetry. It may be in drama. It may be in whatever. What is it? And how can you apply the gifts of God in your life to that general specific purpose that God has for your life? I like music. I like sounds. I like lights. You know, now and then, when I'm able to catch some television programs. I like comedies a lot. I relax with that. Well, then I am amazed with programs like, what is that program now? American something, where people do all kinds of, not Idol. Yes, American Got Talent, that one. And I watch what people do, and I'm amazed at what the world is doing with their talent. But each time I'm watching it, I'm saying, wow, that will work in church. Because there are things that they are doing, I'm saying, why are these people not in church? They can preach the gospel with this then, that he just did. But those same talents are in the house. There are people here right now that have a passion for drama. They can act. They like doing skits. And you may be able to communicate what I'm trying to communicate for the last three sections in 1 5-minute skit. What stops you from doing that? Not me. Because if you've got the goods, then you can preach the gospel. Because the preaching of the gospel is not just opening the Bible here and reading one verse after the other. There are many ways to preach this gospel of the kingdom. Maybe it's sounds that you've got. How can we apply your sounds to what we are doing? Maybe you like social media. How can you use your knowledge of social media to help preach the gospel? Everybody's helping somebody accomplish something. John the Baptist was not the big guy. He was not going to go on the cross and die on the cross. Jesus was going to go there, but John the Baptist had a role to play in the life of Jesus before Jesus got there. What role am I supposed to play for you? What role are you supposed to play in my life so that this kingdom of God can spread all around the globe? Let me tell you something. Until you do that, you live frustrated. You'll be frustrated. It's just like tithing. I said to somebody the other day, and maybe I said it here too, you don't tithe, it will cost you, because everybody tithes. Everybody. I don't care who you are. You are a tither. You say, how? You're either tied into God or the devil will come and rob you blind and steal all of those dollars that you're trying to keep, trying to save. It will go into all kinds of problems. So why don't you just give it to God and say, God, rebuke the devourer for my sake. Because you that money is going to go. Give it to God. Yeah, but the devil is going to get it. Problems to take it from you. So you honor God first. Amen? Hallelujah. Destiny. Purpose. Let's understand that destiny is not fatalistic living. It's not. Oh, this is my fate. No, and destiny are not the same thing. This is my fate has an end. Destiny can be increased or diminished. Oh, maybe that might take me a long time to explain. You can improve your destiny or diminish your destiny by the desire of your heart. A man called Elijah came to the prophet Elijah and he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. You know, most people say double portion of your anointing. That's the furthest thing from the truth. He said, I want to be double you. Man says, what you're asking, this is hard. Says to him, if you see me being taken up, then you can have it. So they go through a process where Elijah keeps on trying to discourage Elijah from continuing with him. They come through Gilgal, to Bethel, to Jericho, and then they cross the Jordan. And if you are watching the geography, they are going backwards. They are heading away from the promised land to the other side, which was not the promised land. They part the waters, they cross over to the other side, and Elijah says to Elisha, if you see me being taken up, you can have a double portion of my spirit. And God comes in, sends a chariot of fire, and that's the image of it right there. The chariot of fire comes and steps between Elijah and Elisha. Chariots of fire, that will be major distraction. But Elisha wanted something, and he stays focused. He did not allow this new thing that came to distract him from what he wanted. He keeps his eyes peeled on Elijah. Just place yourself in that setting. Elijah, Elisha, and here is all this flash going on. Flashy stuff going on. What do you turn your eyes to look at? Of course, the shiny stuff. But he doesn't. He's looking at Elijah, and he sees Elijah going up, and he says, hey, that's not the deal. And Elijah throws down his mantle. He picks up that mantle, and he continues his life. And the Bible tells us, when you read through the scriptures, you read this, that Elijah, the prophet, did 16 miracles. 8 major miracles and 8 minor miracles. Elijah did exactly twice, 32 miracles. 16 major and 16 minor. But this is how deep this is. The Bible tells us that Elisha had completed 16 minor and 15 major miracles, and he died. He died from his sickness, and his bones are kept somewhere. And a man that was dead, are you with me? A man that was dead, a gang is coming, and these guys are trying to go bury their friend, and they see these guys coming, and they decide to hide, and they dump their friend. And the dead guy's body hit Elisha's bones, dead bones. And the guy jumps up. He comes alive. Why? The man has a double portion of your spirit. And it was not fulfilled. And God was committed to making sure that that request is fulfilled. Are you with me? So even after he died, God was still working on destiny. God was still working on purpose. I am saying, if God did it then, what will he do for you now? What will he do for me now? Is somebody listening yet? God is committed to seeing our destiny and our purpose accomplished. Dead man is raised. In 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 21. 2 Kings 13, 21. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he what? Revived and stood up on his feet. Praise the Lord. May I say this to you? When you are connected to a man of destiny, even though your situation is dead, it comes back alive. Grace is sufficient. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Destiny is not fatalism. It can change. Until Elisha said, a double portion of your spirit, nobody had experienced this incremental work of the blessing. Because this is not just about an anointing. It's about a blessing, tapping into the blessing that was in the life of Elijah. You and I can improve our lot. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 39, we read these words, 1 Corinthians 14 and 39. Paul is talking to the saints, and he says this. Praise the Lord. He says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, desire to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in what? Order. Why would he say, brethren, covet to prophesy? Desire to prophesy. Because desiring to prophesy is bringing something into your life that you did not have. So you can increase your lot by desiring to do more. And actually, this is part of God's plan for every one of us. For the Word of God tells us in Matthew 25, let me read this passage of Scripture as quickly as I can without slowing down to comment too much. Matthew 25, beginning to read from verse 14. The Word of God says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Are you with me? He was given 5. He traded with it and made 5 more. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So talents is what? Money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. He came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. I gained more. God's interest is that whatever it is that he has given to us, that we increase it. Somebody listening? God has increase on his mind. It's not about, okay, well, this is the destiny I have for you. This is what I want you to accomplish. And that's what I'm coming back for. No, no. God's purpose and destiny is just a starting point. It's the bare minimum. I remember many years ago, the Lord had been speaking to me to go on television. But I kept on giving reasons why we couldn't. We can't because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that. And one July, the Lord spoke to me. He said, if you don't get on television by September, I'm going to have to look for somebody else. I said, but Lord, you heard me. If you don't get on television by September, I'm going to have to look for somebody else. What was God's plan and purpose for me? To be on television. Well, what was he saying to me? If you don't do what I have called you to do, I'm going to have to get somebody else to do it. Ah. I said, no kidding. So I got off my behind and said, God, help me. Praise the Lord. And what did God do? He helped me. He connected me. Now, the first program we had, we still have the lights there in my office. We're garage lights. I went to Canadian Tire. Those are not the lights for television. I went and I got garage lights. Stuck it in front of me. Mom and I were sitting down there. We showed the first program. You could hardly see us. We're so dark. Oh, my God. But God was there to help. The television station took it, said, this is not good enough television. But God said, you better be on television by September, so we're going to put you on, man. And they told us, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. So we started buying equipment. We started buying lights. And sure enough, by the time we did the second and the third and the fourth program, you could see us at least a little bit. But we're on television. And the point is, it was part of our destiny. And God was fed up of me giving excuses, and the excuses were legitimate. There's nothing wrong with it. I didn't have the money. That's the truth. I didn't have a television. I knew nobody on television that could help me. That's the truth. I didn't have an intro, an extra. That's the truth. Every problem I presented was the truth. But was God interested in all of my excuses? Absolutely not. Why? I made you. I formed you. I will help you. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I said, get off the excuses. All the reasons, as legitimate as the excuses are, they are illegitimate with God. I can't because of this. I can't because of that. Really? Where does faith work? Where does your believing come into place? You got to believe that God can do something extraordinary with your life. He's still a God who takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and doesn't complain about 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and the children. And he feeds them all and collects 12 baskets, more than he started with. That's a God who said, I'm going to help you. That's a God who's saying, I'm going to help you. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. He says, don't be dismayed. Don't get overwhelmed with everything. Don't be afraid. I am your God. I am with you. Amen? I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Look at that. Read it with me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Where did we start out today? Did God not say, I will hold you with my hand? I'm going to help you. So don't focus on your circumstance. Focus on my goodness. Somebody shout hallelujah. Children of Ephraim, they had all the resources, all the help needed. But when it was time for war, they ran off. they took off in another direction. Let me just read quickly Psalm 78. Psalm 78, beginning to read from verse 5. Psalm 78. Word of God says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children." Praise the Lord. "That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle." That was their rebellion. They were armed. They were fully equipped. But in the day of battle, they turned back. In the day of battle. That is not our portion. "They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law." They did not keep the covenant. That was their problem. Verse 19 and 20. "Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" Doubt. Doubt and unbelief will cause you and I not to fulfill our destiny. God has a destiny for you. God has a purpose for you. He has it for me. But will I fulfill it? And if I don't, what will the reason be? I doubted God. I know God did that. I know God did that. And I know God this. But will he do this? But will he do that? Yes, if you believe him. You know what? God gave them bread. And God gave them flesh. Manna and quail came. But guess what? When you doubt God, even when God answers, the answer becomes a problem to you. They ate and they died. Unbelief will short circuit God's plan for your life, for my life. Question is, will you believe God? Will you believe that God can use your life? Please forget about your background, your education, your whatever. All of that, as important as they all are, do not match up with what God can do with ordinary people. Amen? Do you receive that word? So what are we supposed to do? So wrap up. We need to live very intentionally. You have to be intentional. Really intentional. Have an intent in your thinking. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 makes a striking statement to us. Philippians 3, 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's intentional living. When you are intentional, you don't pack. You say, well, I guess we have arrived here. No, there is no plateauing. Never allow your life to plateau, because when you peak, you start falling. You must make the decision, I am not going to peak. You know what I'm saying? I'm never going to peak, because anything that peaks, as soon as it peaks, the natural force of gravity will cause it to start to drop. That's not your life. When Jesus rose again from the dead, he kept on going, and he did not need a solid elevator. He just stepped on a cloud. What can clouds hold? And God is calling us to do the same. Don't peak. Amen? Don't peak. Be intentional. Secondly, we need to be very focused. That's just like being intentional. Be focused. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7 makes a comment to us. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. Isaiah 50 and 7. For the Lord God will do what? Help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a what? A flint. And I know that I shall not be what? Ashamed. That's walking in faith. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are, that's where I'm going. Listen, when you set your face like a flint in hand, heading in a particular direction in God, anything that will delay you drops off. Actually, the things that should have slowed you down reject you. Hear that statement. When you set your face as a flint, that's where I'm going, that's what I'm going to do, anything that is supposed to hold you back rejects you. They reject you. Let me show you. Luke chapter 9. And what verse should I go to? Verse 51. Luke 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to what? Jerusalem. Verse 52. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. 53. And they did not receive him. And they what? Did not receive him. Why? Because his face was as though he would go to what? Jerusalem. That's why they did not receive him. Whatever he said, go prepare a place for me there. Is that what he said? Verse 52. Watch that. Jesus sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready what? For him. Jesus sent them. But he's trying to show to us, when you set your face to go somewhere, no matter what you do, even if you were the one trying to do it, when you set your face first to go to accomplish the purpose of God, and the purpose of God, 51, watch this. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be what? Received up. When it's time for him to be elevated, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, 52, and sent messengers before him that they go into the village of the Samaritans. the Samaritans. He didn't even come for those people. To make ready for him, 53. And they did not what? Receive him. Because. Reason? Because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. That's why they rejected him. They didn't reject him because they wanted to reject him. They rejected him because this was not his assignment. And when you are in your wrong place, you will be rejected. Because God has... So don't start griping and complaining, oh, they rejected me. No, no. When you started out on this journey, what was the plan? Don't dumb down your plan and expect them to receive you when you're a person of destiny. You're reducing your standard. It's not going to make them receive you. Don't reduce your standard because you just want to fit in. No. What is your assignment? Well, I got to be buddies with these people. No. I don't need wrong buddies that won't keep me down. God called me to be a certain kind of a person, and that kind of a person I am going to be. And the child of God, please hear me loud and clear. If you're not following the calling and purpose of destiny, which God has said, I'm going to help you with, you're going to be frustrated. It is God's way of helping you. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Stay focused. Be discerning. Let me stop there. Genesis 24. Abraham has sent his servant to go look for a wife. And he comes. When he gets there, he had to discern. But the discernment was tied to the next thing, be given. Rebecca comes there, sees this stranger, and this woman, without being asked, starts to get water to satisfy the thirst of camels. Do you know how hard that is? She is taking care of this man's camel that came all the way. Kept on giving water to these camels until they are satisfied and goes to the next one, until the next one, and the next one. And this man is watching this woman. Who's this? She was a woman of destiny. And she proved that she was a woman of destiny by her giving. By her sacrificial giving. And the man says to him, sister, you guys have a place I can stay today? He says, yeah, we got a place. You can stay with us. He didn't know that this was the family that God sent him to. God had led him and connected him to the answer. But the answer was busy giving, not knowing that she was part of a greater purpose. She was going to marry Isaac. She didn't see Isaac. She didn't see Abraham. But somebody that was a helper of Abraham was here trying to locate the right person. And the right person was a person that was a giver. Let me ask you this question. When God is looking for somebody, will he find a giver in you? Will you find a giver in me? Because child of God, that's the people God connects with. Because they carry his spirit. God so loved that he what? Gave. Hallelujah. Purpose, destiny. Be a giver. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. All right, we'll call it a day there, and we'll continue tonight with the word of the Lord. But at this time, I bless you in the name of the Lord. And I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who created you, the God who created me, that this God who says, I will help you, that he will take us now by his right hand and elevate us and establish us, straighten out every crooked path, and cause us to arrive quicker than those that have been ahead of us. Oh, don't be concerned of who it is that's ahead of you right now, because you are not only going to catch up, you're going to supersede them. You're going to arrive, and when you arrive, they will be wondering, how on earth did you get here? How did you do it? Oh, this is a funny place to end, or a funny way to end it. I watched the last comedy, Big Bang Theory, and there's an elevator in Big Bang Theory that was never working. But in the last program, it worked. And there's a guy called Sheldon, if you watch Big Bang Theory. He's upstairs and he's trying to get downstairs because he's trying to fix his life. Everything is going out of place for him. And there's this girl, forgotten her name now, gets on that elevator and gets down. He saw her up there and he goes down up down the stairs. And when he got down, she's there. How did you get here? She says, with the elevator. That's exactly what's going to happen to you. How on earth did you get here? The Lord. I didn't see you coming. You don't have to see me coming. When it's a straight line, I'm not going through all the jagged edges. I'm just going straight. Is that you? If that's you, shout seven big hallelujahs unto the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.